Gordon's Driving Tips on Kerry Today. Brought to you in association with Southwest School of Motoring. Shaping confident, skilled and responsible drivers across Kerry, Cork and Limerick.
Yes, indeed. Very good morning to you, Gordon Sheehy of Southwest School of Motoring. Gordon is in with us for Gordon's Driving Tips, a new monthly feature here on Kerry Today on Thursday mornings. Gordon, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Listen, we're going to start straight into it. A lot of people getting in touch already with questions and queries. And if anyone has them, get them into us now. You can WhatsApp them to 083 300 3300. Email the more detailed ones to kerry@radiokerry.ie or call us on our phone number for any questions and tips you have for Gordon. We'll get straight away, Gordon, into it. On the Tralee bypass, Tim and Tralee says, there are five roundabouts, yet no directional arrows on any of them. Shouldn't there be directional arrows? Now, this may be more for the NRA or the TII or Kerry County Council Water than you, Gordon, but any advice for Tim?
Yeah, thanks, Tim. You're right. I think it would be good to have directional arrows on those roundabouts, but I just want to just go through a few things first. On the bypass where you have to go back to what else is important, the sign on approach is important, that would tell you direction. Generally speaking, where there's no arrows on the ground, you would use the rules of the road, where the left lane generally speaking would be for turning left and to follow the road ahead, go straight on. Now, because it's a dual carriageway, you have two lanes entering the roundabout and two lanes out, the right lane would also be for going ahead straight on and for turning right.
So then you have two lanes basically going, one for left, one for straight on, one for right, but also for straight on. But you have two lanes to exit.
Correct.
So is the key thing then to stay in your lane, whichever one you're in?
Correct. Now, the problem can be at times where some people would be in the right-hand lane and decide halfway through the roundabout, oh, I must leave in the left-hand lane and cut across traffic. That's the danger there. But generally speaking, if you come in the right lane, stay in your lane and leave the roundabout.
Yeah, and the arrows would help fix that problem, I'd imagine.
They would. They'd be a benefit for sure, yeah.
Okay,
sure.
Brilliant stuff. A listener says, I think people which are usually young taking driving lessons should be taken out around the country roads and at night. Learning to drive around towns is fine, but then when they pass the test, which is usually taken in urban areas or towns, they then have to be able to handle a car outside towns, along with slowing down. No one crashes in towns. What does Gordon think?
Thank you very much. That's a good point. But I personally, when I'm teaching people or doing lessons, I wouldn't be sticking to this idea of test routes and staying within the town. I vary it as much as possible. I would have driving at night, town driving, country driving, all different aspects, because it is a life skill. And I think to stay doing the same thing as in the same route over and over, it doesn't benefit in the long term. I think no. You have to vary it, and you really got to get people thinking for themselves. And that's why, you know, going different roads, maybe roads they're not familiar with, to see if people are planning and looking out and what are the obstacles. There's no footpaths, there could be people walking, etc., etc. So I agree, it's a good thing to do.
Yeah, and look, with that in mind, when someone is doing their driving tests and getting the number of tests or lessons they need to qualify for the test, they need, wherever they're doing their tests, let's say they're meant to be driving, practicing themselves outside of instruction time anyway, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Getting to and from wherever they live, if it's an urban area.
Absolutely.
So all of that comes into it.
Yeah, for sure. The more experience you get, the better. Absolutely.
Okay, all right. Jory, question for Gordon is, in traffic approaching a roundabout from the right-hand side, or traffic already in the roundabout approaching from the right-hand side that has the right of way? In front of county buildings in Tralee, traffic from Castle Island side often speed up to reach the roundabout before the traffic approaching from Killarisk. Is this correct or aggressive driving?
That's a good point. There's a few things about that roundabout as well. If you approach from Killarisk, you know, you're going up, the visibility is not great on approach. The traffic coming in from the Castle Island side, at that roundabout to go straight on, there's a change. They have to be in the right-hand lane. So there's a lot of things that wouldn't be the norm. So you've got to really watch. And look, you have no control over people's speed approaching. All you can do is react to what the right thing and the safe thing for you to do that time is. So I would say, for you personally, approach at a good speed, checking on approach, but people would often go into the wrong lane there, because the left lane of that roundabout coming from the Castle Island side is for only going left for the first exit, and that can confuse people. Then they just go into the wrong lane and do the wrong thing, and they may be panic and stuff. But really, again, you can't control what other people do. It's only what you can do with what's there. And sometimes people who come in there too fast, I agree, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a small roundabout, and sometimes with the smaller roundabouts, they can be more difficult because you're too close to traffic. So if you pull out, you could be out in front of someone very easy.
Before you know it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the lesson for that roundabout is, whatever side you're coming in, Killarisk or Castle Island, or coming out from the Tralee side, go slow and take it easy, because it is tricky.
Yeah, and okay, plenty of observation and approach, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm an older driver, says Mary. I have trouble parking between two white lines. Any tips? Says Mary. And this is a problem with the size of modern cars, yeah, what a lot of our listeners telling us. And some of the car parks are more generous than others, whether they're private or public.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, thank you, Mary. I think this is something that a lot of people struggle with. I'm going to give a couple of tips. One thing is here, and I've seen this, is, and I have no disrespect to anyone, but it's possible that your mirrors may not be adjusted right to help you either. What I mean by that is, make sure that they're adjusted slightly down so it's easier for you to see the lines before you do anything. I know that might, you know, be common sense, but I did know someone that couldn't reverse around the corner. They had done lessons in their own car. I went for a lesson with them, and I said, okay, let you do the reverse and I'll see how you get on. They did a reverse and it was all over the shop, and I couldn't figure it out. So I said, have another go. And just before they took off, I said, look, when you look in your mirror there now, you can see the footpath, follow it around. And they said, well, I can't see the footpath. And this person had a lot of driving done at this point. So I said, do you mind if I jump into the driver's seat? And I did. And their mirror was pointed up towards the sky.
Oh.
So I know it's simple, yeah, common sense, but
yeah,
it might be something small could help you a lot. It is something that people would struggle with. The lanes can be small in certain car parks. What I would do if I was you is I'd go to some quiet car park in the evening time, whatever, mess around with your mirrors, go in slowly, try and go in at an angle that's not too difficult, like, you know, 90 degree. Try and just go in back as straight as you can, nice and slowly. And if you're still having difficulty, it might be no harm. You can, if you want, contact a driving instructor just for a specific reason.
Yes.
I have trouble with this issue. Fair enough, you already have your full license, so it's not a problem. An instructor would be happy enough to help you out, I'm sure.
Are you better off driving in or reversing in so you can drive out? Or you're probably better off reversing in if you can, so you drive out clear,
yeah,
not having to back out in front of the oncoming,
correct,
traffic.
It's much safer to reverse in and to drive out. Absolutely, because you're backing out where there is much space onto traffic that
is,
may not
is the reason why people drive in instead of reversing in, because they just can't reverse in. They're having various sort of problems.
Yeah, well, yeah, there certainly is. And then there can be mayhem in car parks and all that stuff. But definitely reversing skills, you know, would be a massive help. I personally, I'd always reverse in and drive out.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it's just much safer. Yeah. Okay, we're going to talk more with Gordon. If you have more questions or queries, get them into us now on 0667123666. We have more Gordon Shee of Southwest Drive School of Motoring after we take these.
Gordon's Driving Tips on Kerry Today, brought to you in association with Southwest School of Motoring, shaping confident, skilled and responsible drivers across Kerry, Cork and Limerick.
Yeah, there you go, we're talking driving theory, driving tests and driving lessons and driving tips with Gordon Sheehy of Southwest School of Motoring. Lots of your queries, a listener gets in touch, is there any course for people with dyslexia doing the theory test? Well, there is assistance, I can tell you, listener, from the driver theory test. If you go to the website theorytest.ie, there is test day assistance and support. There's an automated reader service, there's in-person reader service, there's a recorder, there's a whole host of different things there. You have to apply for it. So if you contact them, get in touch with them, driver theory test at driver theory test.ie, or theory test, sorry, I should say, and that will give you the information that you need in relation to that. What do you think, Gordon, that if you fail your driving test, would it not make more sense just to have to repeat the part where you got a grade 3 that failed you in your test, as opposed to having to repeat the whole driving test again? This would take less time, free up more slots for driving tests. That's my mother, whose daughter is sitting the test again for the third time.
Okay, fair enough. I can't really agree with that one. I think it's got to be a whole assessment on the day, because at what point do we stop this? If someone, you know, just gets a grade 3 for traffic lights, you just get onto the traffic lights. And so it really, I couldn't see how that would work as an overall assessment, you know.
A test is meant to be a test.
Yes, it's
and you have to pass all the elements of it.
Absolutely.
To show that you are at the standard.
Yeah, it's an overall assessment. Has to be the particular step. You know, again, I would just say, you know, unfortunately, it's the third time, but again, I would say about preparation, just, you know, be ready for your test on the day, you know, get confident, plenty driving, but I couldn't see that working.
Yeah, okay. Morning, George. There should be a refresher course for all drivers after 5 years, says Mike.
Fair enough.
For the people who were good, they passed their test and then they just forget all the rules of the road and slip into bad habits.
Oh, you know, I think there's such a backlog with driving tests at the moment. If everyone had to do a refresher every 5 years, I think it would cause mayhem. I think it's, look, you know, that's not done anywhere, so I can't see that working, you know. But look, I suppose there's different things, different courses you could do, maybe on a personal level. I mean, I was in the UK last week getting training, so just to keep upskilling that, like. But I could, you've got your license, you've passed your test, you're getting experience, you know. I can't see that working out either.
No, not a runner, Mike. No. I don't think so. Maybe some people who flout the rules of the road should be sent on a course. I'm not sure if that even happens. Jory, why is it that people don't use the box at the traffic lights? They wait until the green arrow comes on, says Mary. This is the yellow box with the crosses in it for people who, you know, the first car is to go in to stay there, willing to turn off. Do people just not know? Has it fallen out of fashion, or what's the situation?
Well, it's a very good point. It came from Mary, wasn't it?
And, yeah.
I was actually in a classroom this morning discussing this with a group, and I asked a group of people, like, can you stop in the yellow box? You know, can you? And like, 50% got it right, and 50%
got
didn't,
it wrong.
You know? And so, it's people don't know what to do there. And people fail their driving test for it. They do. Because they wait at the back of the white line if they're first in queue and wait for the lights to change and stuff like that, or wait for the arrow. If you're first in queue and the light is green, drive into the box, drive well into it, in a position to turn. Wait for it to clear for traffic and go then on the green light. Now, the other thing people do is you might not get a break and the light might go red. That's when you go anyway. You gotta wait. You gotta go when the light goes red.
Yes.
Know? Some people freeze at that point because in their head they're saying, I should go, but it's a red light.
It's a red light.
And then they don't go.
And this is where the traffic from the other side is pulling across and somebody breaks the red light and doesn't give you time to get.
Yeah.
And or it's very busy and cars are inching out and there's no break for you. If you're in the box, you need to go because you've got to get out of the way if you're the traffic coming the other way.
You're in the middle of the whole junction. So.
And is that why people are afraid then? They don't know. They think, if I'm in that yellow box, someone's going to crash into me. That's their fear. But it's wrong.
Well, I had someone a few weeks ago and we did the yellow box and they've been driving a long time and they were upgrading to a different category. And they said, I actually don't know what to do here. So we spent the whole lesson, and what we did was we kept driving around Tralee, all the various traffic lights, turning right. We must have spent three or four, you know, we did three or four of them just to get it down. And she did a fine. But when you don't know, you get confused and you come up with all kinds of scenarios. You know, that's really it.
Yeah. Okay, another caller. My 19-year-old has started driving lessons, but is very, very nervous. She tells me she feels physically sick before she even starts a lesson. This isn't even the test, like, this is a lesson. Mm. The instructor says she is good. She's very timid, though. What to do?
Okay. I would say a few things. One thing is having the right driving instructor is so important. And I'm not saying anything about this driving instructor.
Yes.
Having the right driving instructor for the person. You need someone who's good with people who are very nervous. And a driving instructor should be, you know, but just making sure that it's the right person. Get someone that's well recommended, that is known for being good with people, you know, because it's a different, there's so many things at the start to learn. There's so many new skills, all the basic stuff. There's three or four things happening at the same time and people are panicky. And I mean, it should get to the stage where it's enjoyable, that they look forward to going through their lessons. But I think that relationship with your instructor is so important on this journey. I think really it's down to that, you know, and look, you know, just try and take it easy. Try and not to be drinking too much coffee that morning, whatever. Just things to relax. Go for a walk first, clear the head. You know, just that when you're ready, you're prepared, and tell your instructor how you feel. Tell them. Listen, I'm not with it. I don't feel right. My whatever is going on. Just say, and you know, to just go somewhere quieter and start off again and build up. You know, after a few minutes, they might find after 5 minutes, yeah, the shoulders start dropping, they start relaxing a bit again. That's everyone is different, so you got to go with what's there. So, but that's common enough too with people. Yeah. You know, they can be. It's a new set of skills, completely different.
The test is looming.
Yeah.
They're worried about the test, yeah. And it can feed in through to lessons.
Absolutely. But I think that relationship with the right instructor for you is so important.
Yeah.
I mean, I did my test a long time ago and I can still remember my driving instructor. You know, that it's one of those things you'll remember, and my tests, etc.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. 100%. Okay. Every new driver should complete a defensive driving course before they get a license, in addition to their other driving lessons, says Aileen. Defensive driving, is that in terms of what to do in a crash or how to minimise or what is it?
Defensive is more advanced stuff, really. You know, it's seeing the problems before they happen, changing your role position. A lot of defensive courses, to be honest, it's really for more advanced, where you move positions, where you might go over the white line to see ahead better and stuff like that.
Yes.
And I don't think that's suitable for learners, for people building a new skill. So I agree it would be a good thing down the line, but for it, there can be a bit of a, like, generally speaking, you do teach people to drive at a good standard, where they're defensive enough in their position and stuff. They're at the right place. Nervous people are inclined to keep into the left too much. So you gotta, you know, hold your road, do the right things, make the right decisions, not give away your right of way, etc., all the time. Take your right of way, you know. So,
yeah.
But that comes with just building up practice, not necessarily a defensive driving course. It's a different thing.
It's more for emergency services personnel.
Yeah, they do a lot of stuff. Yeah.
Okay. Roundabout rules don't apply in Tralee. Every roundabout on Tralee is a different entry and exit point. You need to be a magician to figure them out. That's more of a statement than a question from that listener in frustration. A listener asks as well, can you ask Gordon what the correct procedure is at Daly's Roundabout Killarney? This is the end of the Park Road in Killarney. Travelling from the Park Road to the N22, I use the right-hand lane, I indicate right and then indicate left once I pass the Ballyspillan slip lane. But last week, someone pulled out in front of me from the Ballyspillan direction while I was on the roundabout, and I wonder now if I'm doing it wrong. This is a very busy roundabout and a lot of people can get stuck. So maybe there's a bit of frustration with people edging forward at busy times. That can be part of it as well.
Can I just go through it? I'm not very familiar with it.
You're on the Park Road. You're coming out from Killarney, or whichever side you're coming in. It says person coming out from Killarney.
Yeah.
The left-hand side takes you up to the bypass of Killarney, up by the Ford station. You're Ballyspillan is straight on beside Daly Super Value.
That's
straight on up the hill,
okay.
By the old Pretty Polly. You're turning right to go onto the N22.
Mm.
There's a number of entrances from Daly's onto it as well, which could make things. And there's traffic lights, pedestrian crossings.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on there because it's a very busy junction into Killarney. So this person is pulling in, and it is pulling out, and the right of way was taken by someone coming from the Ballyspillan direction. Were they doing it wrong? I suppose they weren't. They were on the roundabout. It was the person coming
someone
down
just
the hill.
Drove, so it sounds like someone just cut them off, drove out in front of them when they shouldn't have. So that so this person was approaching around about, they put on their right indicator. I presume they were in the right lane.
Once they passed the Ballyspillan slip lane, they indicate left, say they're going off on the N22.
Yeah.
But this person pulled in before that had happened.
Now, what could be an issue there is when you signal, when did they decide to move into the left lane? Because when you're going from a right lane to a left, really, when you approach that Ballyspillan exit, as you call it, you need to move into the left. It depends on the timing.
Yes.
If you time that wrong and leave it go late, you will allow space for someone to go up your inside.
Yes.
So the timing of that is very important.
Yeah.
Now it's hard to kind of discuss it without...
Cars are edging out all the time from the Ballyspillan side to get onto the roundabout.
You've got to go in there maybe earlier. Maybe they're letting it go slightly late and the car has gone out. That would be an incorrecting, so to speak, you know.
Yeah.
But I look,
we'll come back to it.
Yeah, for sure.
Roundabouts are a big problem for a lot of people. Yeah.